نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all the praises in this world. All attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted us the greatest gift from His treasures. There's no gift from His treasures that is greater than the gift which He gave us, which is the gift of Iman. From all that which Allah has in His treasures, Iman is the most valuable. And Allah Ta'ala selected Iman and gave it to us without us asking for it, without us making dua for it. We never even pay anything. So by His mercy, Allah Ta'ala granted us the greatest gift, which is the gift of Iman. We make dua, Allah keep us upon this Iman. Allah grant us our mort, our death upon this Iman. And may Allah raise us on the day of judgment upon this Iman. So what is Iman? Iman is about yaqeen, conviction. To move one's yaqeen, conviction, away from the incorrect yaqeen and to bring the correct yaqeen in one's heart. This is Iman. And ulama say, make so much of effort upon your Iman. Work on your Iman. Make so much effort upon your Iman that this Iman motivates you, makes you or enables you to be able to follow complete deen. In fact, ulama say it is farz, compulsory. Make so much of effort upon your Iman that this Iman of yours, of ours, mine and yours, enable us to follow complete deen, to obey all the commands of Allah Ta'ala and the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is compulsory upon every moment to make that amount of Iman. Our great elder Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, one person with the incorrect yaqeen, wrong conviction, this person is more harmful to an entire community, more harmful than the wild animals of the jungle. If the wild animals of the jungle have to be released on this community, they will not be able to do that damage and that harm that the one person with the wrong yaqeen, with the incorrect yaqeen will be able to do. And today, we are seeing it with our eyes. One man was responsible, in our era, in our time, one person is responsible for the death of 1 million innocent people. 1 million. How much harm he caused. More harm than all the animals can get together. So true was the words of Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah fill his qabr with noor. Allah gave them that insight. So to learn the correct yaqeen and to remove the incorrect yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala has presented and demonstrated to us different incidents by talking about it, by listening, by repeatedly talking, by repeatedly listening, our Iman will get made and we will correct our yaqeen. So we see that Allah Ta'ala by His Qudrat, by His ability and capability, creates Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Without a mother and father, our intellect, what it says, if someone says, make dua, I must get a child, and you ask him, you're married, he says, no, what you will tell him? Let's get married first, bye. That's what we will tell him. But Allah Ta'ala is proving, is demonstrating to us, teaching us iman, teaching us yaqeen, that while that is the sunnah of Allah, that is the way of Allah, Allah can go against that. And Allah brought into this world Adam alayhi salatu wa salam without a mother and a father. So Allah can do without creation. Allah can do without the makhluk. Then Allah Ta'ala sent Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam in the world, and he had no father. Isa alayhi salam, his mother Maryam gave birth to him. He had no father. Again Allah is showing, see how Allah does. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the doer. Then we find the various waqiyas, the incidents in the life of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Again, by talking about it, by listening and over, it will correct our yaqeen and it will bring the correct conviction in our hearts. We look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, his enemies at that time who intended to destroy him, that was their intention. But what insan and makhluk intends is not what will happen. Because everything is in the hands of Allah. What Allah intends, that is what's going to happen. So they intended to destroy Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, to kill him, to take his life away. But Allah had an opposite intention, to save his life. So they make this huge fire, they throw him into the fire. And how huge and fierce was this fire? Ulama Ikram explained that if a bird had to fly above the fire, so much of heat was coming out of this fire, that it will get burnt, it will get roasted, and it will die. So hot, so much of heat was coming out of the fire. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? I was so comfortable inside the fire. Directly opposite. One fire, wasn't two fire, one fire. One fire was performing two duties. Two duties. And the both duty was opposite from each other. The fire is performing the duty of giving off heat by the command of Allah. And the same fire was commanded, be cool and be calm and be comfortable for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now one fire is doing two jobs. And the both job is opposite from one another. See? We all know, fire gives heat, fire will burn, fire will destroy, fire will harm. Like it did to the birds that went above the fire. But it is not in the hands of the fire. Fire can't do. Fire is makhluk, fire is creation. Creation can't harm, creation can't benefit. So Allah is demonstrating to us iman, demonstrating to us yaqeen, demonstrating to us what is incorrect yaqeen and what is correct yaqeen. Fire don't have the ability. If it had the ability, that fire that we burned the rope, the string, with which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was tied, then that same fire should have burned the hair on the body of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. So, by the command of Allah, the fire burned the rope, and by the command of Allah, the fire could not burn one hair on the body of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. This is La ilaha illallah. What we say first, La, negate, deception. What you see is deception. La, negate. Makhluk can't do, creation can't do. And after La comes, illallah. Only one Allah. Bring your yaqeen, take your incorrect yaqeen out of makhluk, out of creation. And bring your yaqeen upon the zat of Allah, the kudrat of Allah, the power of Allah, the abilities of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala alone does. Allah is the doer. See? So outside is hot, inside is cool. Who is the controller of the fire? The thermometer of the fire? If fire had the ability, it will burn Ibrahim al-Islam. It never burnt him. So the more we ponder over this incident that occurred in the life of Ibrahim al-Islam, the deeper and deeper understanding we will get of Iman and Yaqeen. What is wrong Yaqeen? What is correct Yaqeen? Just now, a few weeks ago, or later, or shortly, is going to be Eid al-Adha. Everybody will be cutting goat, sheep, camel, ox, whatever the case may be. And ulama from the mimbar, they remind us of the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Gee, what is the essence and significance behind this qurbani? What a great lesson from this we can take as well. That here's one knife. It wasn't two knives, one knife. That one knife which could not cut the neck of Ismail alayhi salam is the same knife that cut the animal which was presented in place of Ismail alayhi salam. La ilaha illallah. Knife can't do. Knife can't harm. Makhluk creation can't do. Illallah, Allah does. Allah commanded that knife. You will not cut the neck of my Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The knife never had the ability to cut his neck. But Allah gives the same knife, the same command, another command, that the animal that is being presented before you, you will cut that neck of that animal. So one makhluk, one creation, who's the controller? Allah. And what does Allah do? Two commands the one creation to do, two opposite duties. Don't cut the neck of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, but cut the neck of the animal. Same knife. Wasn't two knives. He never took the one knife and kept it one side and took another knife and then used it to cut the animal. No, no, no. Same knife. Same incident. The hukam of Allah, the command of Allah changed. Allah is teaching us. Allah is in control. Knife not in control. Creation is not in control. Allah is in control. Allah controls. Illallah. Allah is the doer. Allah controls. Bring this conviction in your hearts. So these waqiyas, these incidents teach us big lessons about incorrect yaqeen and correct yaqeen. Similarly, we see the life of Hazrat Musa ala Nabiyyan alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala asks him, we hear from ulama something like this, "Oh Musa alayhi salam, what are you holding?" He said, "This is a staff. For our understanding, let's call it a walking stick." A walking stick. "Acha, what do you do with this?" So now he started giving all the benefits, all the fighter, all the benefits. This stick of mine, this walking stick of mine, I lean on it, I take support on it. I pluck from the leaves from the tree. Hurt my cattle. My flock, my sheep, I use it for that. In other words, he is saying, this what I got in my hand is a very beneficial. It is very beneficial. And it is helping me. That's what he's trying to say. This is beneficial, it's helping me. I'm depending on it to help me. And then Allah Ta'ala wants to teach Iman again, Yaqeen again. What is wrong Yaqeen? What is correct Yaqeen? And ulama explained all these waqiyas is for the ummah to come till the day of judgment to learn from this waqiyah, correct iman, correct yaqeen. So what did Allah Ta'ala command? "Oh Musa alayhi salam, throw that staff, that stick, the walking stick of yours, throw it down." He throws it down. And that same stick, walking stick, which Musa alayhi salam was saying is so beneficial, Allah Ta'ala turns that stick into a serpent, a huge snake, dangerous, venomous snake. Now you and I, if we see a venomous, huge serpent, a snake, what we'll do? We'll run. Why? Because we know this thing can harm us, it can kill us, it can bite me. The poison will kill me. So Musa alayhi salam, naturally, the fear came into him. "Look at this. Look at this huge serpent. Look at this huge snake. It's going to harm me." Now, Allah wants to teach Iman. Allah wants to teach correct yaqeen. So what Allah said, commands Musa alayhi salam, "Hold it. You and I will hold it. Who's got the courage? Huge, big snake, big head, fearful looking. You're going to hold it. You won't hold it. But command of Allah, so Musa alayhi salam, he goes and he holds it. But he holds the tail of the snake. Why? Because the mouth is more dangerous, right? We agree? Mouth is more dangerous. But it's safer to hold the tail, right? See? So he went to hold the tail. Allah wants to teach him iman, yaqeen, and demonstrate to us what is correct yaqeen. Don't worry, this is makhluk, this is creation. Oh Musa, don't touch the tail, you're going to touch the mouth, go and hold the mouth, catch it by the mouth. Catch that snake, that serpent, that venomous serpent, that what you're seeing in front of you, which you think is going to be harmful to you, hold it by the mouth, by the head. Allahu Akbar, command of Allah. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes and he holds it by the head. And then Allah Ta'ala, by his qudrat, showing us, demonstrating to us, that what you see is a deception. What you see, from where it is happening, and what is happening, by whom it is happening, it is all a deception. Behind it is the qudrat of Allah. Behind it is the power of Allah. Behind it is the command of Allah. So hold that, what do you call, a head of the snake, he holds it, and it turns back into the staff, a stick, or the walking stick, as you would say. So a lifeless creation, which is a stick, got no life, Allah turned it into a venomous snake. And that venomous snake, Allah Ta'ala turns it back into a stick. So from a dead makhluk to an alive makhluk, from an alive makhluk back to a dead makhluk. Illallah, illallah, Allah is the doer. Learn iman, learn yaqeen from this waqiyah, from this incident. They are not bedtime stories. Rather, they are lessons for us so that we can bring the correct iman and correct yaqeen into the crevices of our heart. And we live our life according to the correct yaqeen. And we stay away from the incorrect yaqeen, the deception around us that makhluk is doing, creation is doing. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, another waqiyah we learn again, great lessons from, is when Fir'aun and his army were chasing him and the Bani Israel. And now they're moving out of the city, they go in front, and as they are going, now they come, they are confronted by the ocean in front of them. Allahu Akbar. What did the Bani Israel say? Oh Musa alayhi salam, look what you did to us. You got us into serious trouble here. If we go ahead, we're going to drown. This water going to drown us. We're going to die. How we can go forward in this ocean? We're going to drown, we'll die. In front of us is mort, is death. You brought us in front of death. And if you try and go backwards, then Fir'aun is following with his army. So behind us is death, is mort, and in front of us is death as well. Oh Musa al-Islam, what have you done to us? Ajib jawab, answer, Musa al-Islatu wasalam gave. Shaitan's effort is to move our heart's attention away from Allah. That's Shaitan's effort. And at all times we need to make the effort to keep our heart's attention, focus of our heart upon the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gave this beautiful answer. Allah is with us. In it is 1,000 words. What did he say? Allah is with us. Allah is with us. In other words, don't fear this water. The water can't do nothing. This sea, this water, this ocean in front of you, it can't do nothing. It's makhluk, it's creation. It can't drown you, it can't kill you, it can't take your life. Allah is with us. So he turned the attention of the Bani Israel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the Zat of Allah, the power of Allah, the Qudrat of Allah, the abilities of Allah, the capabilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, this water that you see before your naked eye, it's a deception that it will drown you. Move your yaqeen away from that. This incorrect yaqeen. And bring your yaqeen in the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is going to control that water. That water is going to do what Allah commands the water to do. The water can't do on its own. What Allah commands the water to do, that is what it's going to do. And then Allah Ta'ala opens pathways, roads, pathways for the tribes of the Bani Israel. And in this way now we find that they are able to cross and they reach the shores, the other side, and they reach what we will say, safety, away from the harm of Fir'aun and his army. Now Fir'aun saw this, and his army saw. Look at Musa alayhi salam, and look at the Bani Israel, how they crossed the ocean, how they crossed the waters, and they reached safety on the other side of the shores. We're going to do the same thing. So they went, they entered also. But as they entered, they didn't have the yaqeen in Allah, they didn't have conviction in Allah, they never brought iman upon Allah. So Allah Ta'ala now gives the same water as opposite command. The first command was, become a means of safety and protection for Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel. Now, the same water Allah is commanding, now you become a means of destruction for Fir'aun and his army. So now what happened? The water comes together. And now we find that the army and Fir'aun are about to drown. Now when Fir'aun was, what we say, in the mouth of death, mort, inside it. In other words, when a person has reached that last point in his life when he's about to die, the reality of this deceptive dunya and that which is hidden behind the parda, that is the qudrat of Allah and the akhirat, even that opens in front of a person, ulama explain at that moment to say the kalima or to bring iman upon Allah is too late. Because that's what Fir'aun did. He said, now I bring iman on the Rabb of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. I bring iman upon the Rabb of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, he's saying, now I believe, now I agree, now I accept. Oh Fir'aun, it's too late. You were given a chance. Many, many lessons, many, many, what do you call it, incidents in his life to remind him of the Zat of Allah, Qudrat of Allah, power of Allah. Bring yakin in the power of Allah. Bring yakin in the oneness of Allah. Lot of chance he had. And now, the last moment before leaving the world, he's already in the mouth of death. Now he wants to read the kalima. Now he wants to bring iman on the Rabb of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It's too late. So it was rejected. It was rejected. So from this incident again, when we ponder, when we think about it, we can take great lessons from this example that is before us. Now ulama explained that there is a part in our body which is called the heart, which is a place, which is the home of iman and yaqeen. If effort is made on that, then, and if that is corrected, then the whole body, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the tongue, the hand, the feet, everything will, what you call, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But until that effort is not made upon it, this insan, he will be in the shape and form of an insan, but his habits, his ways, his attitude, his behavior will be worse than animals. And the person with iman, who leaves the world with iman, for him Allah has kept jannat, a good life in the grave, and the day of judgment, an easy judgment for him, and ultimately Allah has kept jannat for him, a place for happiness, comfort, luxury, a good life. And if a person leaves the world without iman, without correct yaqeen, leaves the world without iman, for him in the grave, at the time of death, is difficulty. You have a very difficult death. In the grave, you'll have a very harsh experience, a difficult experience in the grave. Lots of punishment and hardship and difficulty will begin from the grave. And then on the day of judgment, he will have a very difficult reckoning. And of course, ultimately, the place of a person without iman, without qurakeen, is only one place, and that is Jahannam. And that is the fire of hell. The dwellers of Jahannam, those in Jahannam, they will blame Shaitan. See what you did to us. See now where you have brought us. Look at the trouble, the pain, the difficulty, the hardship that we are going through. They will blame, they will point a finger at Shaitan. Shaitan will say, see, there were people who came and gave you dawah towards the correct part. And I gave you dawah towards the wrong part. you made the decision. I didn't make the decision. You decided. You decided not to follow those who invited you towards the correct path, the obedience of Allah, to bring deen in your life. Prepare for qabr, prepare for akhirat, prepare for the day of judgment. Prepare yourself for the ni'mas and the glad tidings Allah has kept in His obedience in Jannah. They gave you that da'wat. And I gave you the wrong da'wat, the incorrect da'wat, which will take you to your destruction. Now you accepted my da'wat, my invitation, you rejected their da'wat. Now why you blame me today? So shaitan that day also will say, excuse me, I'm sorry, don't blame me. He'll put his hands up. Where will this insan go in Jahannam? Where can he go? He'll be starving, asking for food. He'll be given thorns, red hot thorns to eat, asking for a drink. He'll be given a red, he'll be given boiling hot pus and blood to drink. If that pus or blood just touches the tip of his tongue, the tongue will touch the ground. Due to the severity of the heat of that, pus and blood. He will tell the malaika, please give us a break, just stop for a while. Pause for a little while, let us take a breather. And then you can carry on punishing us if you want to. Malaika will say, sorry, we have been commanded to continuously punish you. Continuously punish you. They will ask the people of Jannat, oh people of Jannat, give us some water to drink. Give us some food to eat. People of Jannat will say, sorry, today the drink of Jannat and the food of Jannat is haram upon you. People of Jahannam will be told, the dwellers of Jahannam will be told, how you landed in this place. How you ended up here. There was a place for you in Jannat. There was a reservation for you in Jannat. There was a place kept for you in Jannat. There was place for you in Jannat. Why and how did you end up in this place here, this Jahannam, with all this azam? So Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had this worry, had this pain. He knew all of this. And when he went for Miraj, Allah Ta'ala showed him so many things with regards to the Akhirah, that which is in Parda, behind us, behind the curtains today, which we can't see with the naked eye. See? So he had this pain in his heart, the worry in his heart, that one person must get saved from the fire of Jahannam and enter into Jannat. And the only way to do that is for him to bring Iman. Therefore, he was restless. How Iman can reach every person. How the correct yaqeen can reach every person. No one should be spared. The rich, the poor, the men, the women, everyone from all walks of life, whether they are rulers or whether they are common people, every person should have Iman, should have Hidayat, should bring yaqeen in the oneness of Allah, bring Iman upon Allah, and bring deen in their lives, and prepare for this journey to come, which is the qabr, the hashar, and the akhirat. One of our elders used to say, this journey into the akhirat is not as simple and rosy and cozy like a Sunday walk in the park. Now you take a casual walk in the park on a Sunday, cool, calm. The journey into the akhirat, sakht hai, it's difficult, it's harsh. For the one who has not prepared, but the one who has prepared, who has made that tayari, who has made that preparation, for him it is so easy. So easy. He says that when the ruh will be taken out of this obedient person, obedient servant of Allah, it is like a hair that you take out of the dough. You know, you make bread, dough, one hair is inside. Now you take that thing out. How easy it is? Painless. That's how his ruh will come out. And that person who is a disobedient person, who's got no iman, no yaqeen, he never brought iman upon Allah, what would be his experience at the time of death? It is like a silken cloth. An example is given, like a silken cloth, see, that is placed on a thorny tree. And now you try and take that silken cloth away from the thorny tree, what will happen? It will tear. See? It will tear. Description is given, as Ali radiallahu anhu gives an example to this effect, that the pain of death is equal to the pain a person can undergo if 70 swords had to be pierced in his body at the one and same time, simultaneously. Take 70 swords and pierce a person's body, what pain he will go through? So mort for a disobedient person without deen in his life, without iman, is so painful. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam describes mort for these kind of people to this effect. He says, you take a goat, and take the skin out of the goat while it is alive. How much pain the poor goat will go through. That is the pain this person will go through. So like this, there are so many examples that we have been taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ulama explained to us in the light of Quran and Hadith. So this was painful to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore he was restless. Night and day he gave dawat to the oneness of Allah. Bring iman upon Allah. Bring deen in your lives. Come upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the night, in the day, everyone, the common man, the people in the bazaar, the people at home, the leaders, the community leaders, the tribes, people outside Makkah, in the night, in the day, restlessly giving dawat, worried all the time. So much was worried for the hidayat of his ummah that he used to cry and cry and cry for the hidayat. So much he used to cry that his eyes went red. Lines formed in his eyes. The sound of boiling kettle came out of his chest. And so much he had love for his ummah when he's leaving the world. What does he say? Move the curtain, the parda a little bit, so that I can see my ummah for the last time before I leave this world. Allah explained, when he will get up on the day of judgment, he's not going to ask for his immediate family members and so on, but he will ask, where is my ummah? Where I can find my ummah? Show me where's my ummah? So he leaves the world with the love and the cry and the worry and the concern of his ummah. And he rises again on the day of judgment with the worry and the cry and the fikr of his ummah. Therefore we find in his lifetime certain examples how Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave what you call priority. We gave priority regarding the hidayat of a person rather than looking at the incidents or the habits and the doings of a person. For example, Washi is that person who threw that arrow or that spear that became the means of the shahadat of the uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was responsible. He's the one who threw that arrow, who threw that spear. But alhamdulillah, iman and hidayat was in his muqaddar, it was in his taqdeer, and when he receives iman and hidayat, and he happens to sit in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like how we are all seated here, it reminds Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what he had done, that pain that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent, because he loved his uncle so much. His uncle was beloved to him, and here's that person who threw that spear, or that what you call arrow, which killed my uncle. So what did he tell him? Please sit one side. Because when you sit in front of me, you remind me of this pain in my heart. That Nabi who could not bear that, has that shafqat, has that love in his heart, has the concern in his heart, that this man also, never mind what he did to my uncle, never mind what pain he caused to me, he too must be saved from the fire of Jahannam and enter into Jannah. So Allah's Nabi forgives him. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was on the enemy side in the battle of Uhud. It is said that he alone was responsible for the shahadat of about 70 to 80 eminent sahaba. He makes an announcement, I'm coming to Madinatul Munawwara to accept shahadat, to accept iman. Look at the climate, the mizaj, the mindset of the families in Madinatul Munawwara. Now those mothers who lost their sons in Uhud, those wives who lost their husbands in the battle of Uhud, those sisters who lost their brothers in the battle of Uhud, those mothers who lost their sons, the mothers, the wives, the sisters and the daughters who lost their beloved men in the battle of Uhud, know that Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala is coming into Madinatul Munawwara, and now they had the golden opportunity to take revenge. They had a golden opportunity. He's coming in our hands. This is the man that caused the shahadat of my father, my husband, my brother and my son. They had the golden chance to take revenge. But their mindset was also made. Object of a moment is to see to it that every person in this world, how he can be saved from the fire of Jahannam and enter into Jannat by coming upon Iman, bringing Iman. So the fact that he announced that I'm coming to Madinatul Munawwara to accept Islam, it made them to be able to swallow that pain, that sorrow of theirs. He says that no house in Medina, there was the sound of crying that never came out because of the battle of Uhud. So many, Sahaba were made shaheed from almost every home. There was a shaheed, and the crying of from the homes of Madinatul Munawwara on that occasion could be heard outside the homes. Such sorrow, such pain they underwent. But here's an opportunity to take revenge. But they keep the maqsad in front, they keep the object in front. That is not the object. The object is to see to it that one person gets saved from the fire of Jahannam and enters into Jannah. So they swallow their pain. They swallow the pain for the sake of the hidayah that was al Khalid radiallahu ta'ala. Khalid today is coming on to Iman. That is more important. That is priority. So they forgive Khalid as if in one voice, ulama explained, in one voice the women of Medina forgave Khalid. Oh Khalid, ahlan wa sahlan, marhaba, welcome. Come. You're coming Medina today to accept Islam. Now mind what you did to us. Now mind, my father became shaheed in your hands. Now mind, my husband became shaheed in your hands. Now mind, my son became shaheed in your hands. Now my brother became shaheed in your hands. Oh Khalid, today we will forget that, we'll set that aside. We'll get the reward of that in the akhirah from Allah. Oh Khalid, today you're accepting Iman and Islam. Alhamdulillah, you welcome, come. Ikrama, the son of the biggest enemy who caused the most difficulty to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a result of the invitation, the dawat of his wife, comes, makes announcement, notifies, that I am coming to accept Iman. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell the Sahaba? To this effect, we all know how much harm, difficulty, pain his father put me through, meaning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But, oh my Sahaba, when Ikrama comes, the son of Abu Jahl, when he comes, welcome him. Don't even say, oof. Don't remind him, your father, you know what your father did? You know what your father did to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Don't remind him. Again, set aside all of this. What is priority? What is more important? Is the hidayat of Ikrama. Ikrama must get saved from the fire of Jahannam. Ikrama must go to Jannah. That is more important. The sorrow, the pain that we went through, Allah, you'll give us the ajr for that. The object in front of us is mankind must be saved from the fire of Jahannam, and for that we must become the sabab. Hinda, that woman who chewed the liver, can you imagine what kind of a heart that woman had, who chews the liver of the uncle of Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? She actually chews the liver and gets enjoyment and satisfaction out of that. Yet Allah's Nabi forgives her. And her husband, Abu Sufyan, who also caused a lot of difficulty, Allah's Nabi forgives them. So like this, all these waqiyas, these incidents, those who came upon Iman, those who came upon Hidayat, those who came forward, no matter what they did, Allah's Nabi set everything aside and kept in front of him his object of life. One day a friend of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala comes to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and says, I saw a dream. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, okay, let's go and narrate your dream to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not a Muslim. So he goes there, he narrates the dream. He tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw a dream. In my dream, there's this huge fire. Huge fire. And my father is holding me by my waist and trying to throw me inside the fire. Or rather, he's pushing me from the back and trying to throw me into the fire. But you, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in my dream I am seeing that you are holding me by my waist and you are protecting me, you are preventing me, you are helping me not to fall into the fire. My father is pushing me into the fire And oh, you Nabi of Allah, you are holding me by my waist and protecting me and saving me from falling into the fire. What did Allah's Nabi say to him? Interpretation of your dream. Allah sent me into this world as a mercy unto mankind. Allah sent me in the world as a mercy unto mankind, to invite mankind to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that mankind can be saved from the fire of Jahannam, and they may be entered into Jannat. Your father don't have iman, so your father is throwing you into the fire of Jahannam. But I, as a Nabi of Allah, have come to save you from the fire of Jahannam. That is the interpretation of the dream. So in the night, in the day, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried that his ummah must get hidayat. No one from the ummah must go into Jahannam. His beard gets wet crying for the hidayat of his ummah. The ground upon which he made sajda, he becomes wet, crying for the hidayat of the ummah. And now there's no Nabi to come after him. And this is the last ummah. After this ummah, there's no ummah to come. So this message of inviting mankind, this message of inviting mankind towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effort of saving mankind from the fire of Jahannam, there's no more Nabi to come. And the message has to reach the last person to come till the day of judgment. So how is this going to happen? So elders say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deputed, has appointed, has selected, has chosen the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do that same work. To call towards Allah, to invite towards Allah. To invite towards good deeds, to prevent people from evil things, from evil habits, from disobedience of Allah. So this da'wah of the oneness of Allah, the da'wah towards the obedience of Allah, the da'wah towards following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the da'wah of abstaining from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that responsibility has been placed upon the shoulders of each and every one of us seated here, and the entire mankind, all the men throughout the world, and all the women of this ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given this responsibility. How honored we are. That is why he said, you are the best. Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the best. Means that from all the ummahs that came before you, you, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the best. Why we are the best? Because of our cars, our houses, our money, our bank balance. No, we are the best because you have been chosen, you have been selected, you have been picked. You have been given a great responsibility, a duty, a task in the past, which was the task and the duty of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the work of the Anbiya to call towards Allah. The ummah of the previous Anbiyas were not deputed or given this responsibility. But oh, you from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you have been given this beautiful responsibility, and from amongst you, everyone has been given the responsibility. Every color, every walk of life, no matter who you are. If you are a king in this ummah, this is your job. If you are a businessman in this ummah, this is your job. If you are a farmer in this ummah, this is your job. If you are a professional in this ummah, this is your job. If you are a street sweeper, and or you are a snack seller in the pavement, this is your job. If you are a tea maker in a company, this is your job. If you are a housewife, this is your job. So this responsibility is the responsibility of the whole ummah. So there has to be a group of people who will take up this cry of Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make this their object of life and make it their purpose of life. Allah's Nabi says to his son-in-law Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to this effect, O Hazrat Ali, if Allah ta'ala uses you as a means of the hidayat of one person, if one person can change his life and you become the sabab, oh Hazrat Ali, this is better for you than the whole world and whatever it contains. In other words, you have the gold, the diamond, the rubies, the silver, the oil, all the riches of the world you have. And compared to that, you become the means to call one person towards Allah. You become the means for one person to say the shahada. You become the means for one person to come to the house of Allah. That is better for you, O Ali, than for you acquiring this whole world and whatever it contains. So we are from amongst the best, came last. There's no ummah to come after us. This is that ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the last ummah, no ummah to come after us, the last ummah to come, but the first ummah to enter into Jannat. Subhanallah. Why? Because of this great responsibility that we have been given. When we will do this great job, carry out this great responsibility, when we will carry this out, then we will qualify for the title that has been given to us. And what is the title? That you are the best. We have sent you last, but you will enter Jannat first. No, Jannat is haram on every Nabi. Until Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam enters into Jannat. And Jannat is haram upon every ummati until Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala enters into Jannat. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam meets Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam during Miraj, and he tells him to this effect, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I came before you. Musa alayhi salam is saying, I came before you. But O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, from your ummah, there will be a greater number who will go into Jannah than my ummah. You came after me. I came before you. But from your ummah, a greater number is going to go into Jannah as compared to my ummah. Ulama explain something like this, that 120 safs, lines, rows, will enter into Jannah. And from amongst that, how much has been reserved for the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What they say, 70 to 80. See? Huh? 80 safs. 80 out of the 120. 80 out of 120, what is that? Two-thirds, right? Two-thirds of this, of the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Jannat has been reserved for them. So, for us to come back onto our duty, for every ummah to be reminded that we have a job to do, we have a responsibility, we have been given a duty to do. And for us to come back onto our job, to come back onto our duty, and for deen to come alive in every nook and corner of the world, for that we have ijtimaas. This ijtima of gathering the people is not for the object of just calling people for the sake of calling, gathering, having one big, what you call, function, and so on. No, there's an object behind it, there's a purpose behind it. That in this environment, when we come to the ijtima, then to the environment of the ijtima, we go back with some lessons. The deen is important. Deen is our object of life. And without deen, I am a failure. I cannot achieve success. Dunya, akhirat. Deen is the means to achieve dunya and akhirat, what you call, success. Without deen, a man will be a failure, for sure, totally. Without, beyond a shadow of doubt, the one without deen, he'll be a failure in dunya and akhirat. He will be unsuccessful in dunya and akhirat. So to bring this consciousness, to make the whole ummah, the whole mankind aware of this, to remind us that we have this job to do, to save myself, to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, save our families, our wives, our children, our family members, and to save the ummah at large, we have this duty to do. So one is to bring deen in our lives, to live our life according to deen. And the other is to desire the same for every person, every man, every woman throughout the world. See? For that we have the ijtimaas. And for the ijtima to be successful, the effort that we'll put in before the ijtima, that is going to be the outcome. A businessman, when he's got a meeting, depending on how much preparation he makes before the meeting, that is how successful the outcome of the meeting is going to be. If he prepares for that meeting properly, then the outcome of that meeting will be according to the preparation he made for that meeting. In the same way, the outcome of our ijtima, how successful it will be, does it meet the criteria and the objectives for which we have an ijtima, will depend on the effort that we make before the ijtima. For that reason, elders have shown us some simple steps, simple tarteeb, simple things to do. First thing, the ijtima has been announced for 8, 9 and 10 of August. Right? So that is not the beginning of the ijtima. That is now the last 3 days of the ijtima. 8, 9, 10 is the last 3 days of the ijtima. Ijtima don't start on the 8th. Ijtima, they said the countdown to the finish of the ijtima will start on the 8th. First countdown is the 8th. Second countdown is the 9th. Third countdown is the 10th. on the 10th Ijtima is finished. So these are the last days of the Ijtima. So when did the Ijtima start? Ijtima started when the announcement was made that these are the dates of the Ijtima. And this is where the Ijtima is going to take place. So the Ijtima has begun. So if the Ijtima has begun, then what do we have to do? We have to go down on our hands and our knees and start making such an effort so that the Ijtima becomes successful. So what do we need to do? So one is to reserve these days. No other commitment, no other engagement, no other function, nothing. I am freed for the days of the Ijtima. In our masjid, we get together and a few satis. Few satis get together and take one street. Two, three satis make an effort on the street. And from every street take out every baligh male in the path of Allah before the Ijtima. The thousands that will come to the Ijtima, the elders desire that they should spend at least some time in the path of Allah, at least 3 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before they come to the Ijtima. So they have a good understanding why they come into the Ijtima. Otherwise they'll come to the Ijtima, walking and turning without any what you call purpose. So, two few brothers get together and take one street and make an effort on every home, every person in every home, every building in that street, every floor in that street, every apartment in that building, and every person living in that apartment. No one should be left. Everyone should be given dawat. Great opportunity. Ijtima is an excuse for us to get down to work, to make an effort, to meet one person, to meet every person in our locality and take him out in the path of Allah. With the object that inshallah our masjid must become full. 100% namaz. Every baligh male must read what you call his 5-time namaz in the masjid. How do we know Ijtima was successful? If the level of deen in our masjid increased, if the level of deen in my own life increases, how much deen I had in my life before Ijtima. After the Ijtima, the level of deen in my life increased. That is the barometer, the thermometer. I can say to myself, Alhamdulillah, to the fazl of Allah, I benefited from the Ijtima. The purpose of the Ijtima is fulfilled. Dindari increases in our area. 5 amals of the masjid, they become stronger. People from our area, they are spending time in the path of Allah before the what you call Ijtima. These are signs of the success of the Ijtima. One town in Transvaal, when they were given the Ijtima, they started making effort. They made such an effort, so much of effort. And they followed this tartib which was just mentioned now, that one street, one home, one person was met and given dawat. As a result, they say from that town, before the Ijtima, almost every single baligh male spent time in the path of Allah. Only the very old, the sickly, the infirm, those who were ill, who couldn't, come out. Apart from them, every able baligh male spent time in the path of Allah. So, Ijtima is an excuse for us to go into what they say, harkat, into, go into motion, get to work. Then the second part is, to prepare jamaats. 2 types of jamaats. One jamaat is before the Ijtima, which they say this is the jaan of the Ijtima, the life of the Ijtima, the lifeblood. Before the Ijtima, the jamaats that come out, we have 7 zones in Natal, or we have 20 halkas in Natal. So we need minimum 7 jamaats, or we need 20 jamaats to work in every halka. So these jamaats will go out and meet the people and do exactly what we are making musakara and talking about. So without that, it's not going to happen. So how it can happen? If my routine of the day continues as normal, I go to work the same time as I used to go before the announcement of the Ijtima, and now after the announcement of the Ijtima, my routine, daily routine is still the same. I go to work the same time, I come back from work the same time, I have my breakfast, lunch, supper the same time. Nothing has changed. Can we say this man got the fever of the Ijtima? He got fever of Ijtima. Fever of Ijtima, the sign, the thermometer, the barometer is that person whose whole now routine has changed. Because there's so much of work to do. So much of work to do. His routine has changed. His eating time has changed. Sleeping time has changed. His dunya time has changed. He's lessened because he's giving priority to the takazas of the mulaqas, the effort that has to be made before the ijtima. Now if you got 20 kilos of meat to cook in one big dig, and you light it in the morning, and you say this evening it must be ready. But you put under the dig one candle. You light the candle, put it under the dig, 20 kilos meat, 1-2 kilos of potatoes inside and so on. Now you want this curry to get ready. That one candle, will that dig of meat get cooked? What do you think? What do you say, Shaykh? It'll get cooked with the candle. You need to put heat, sufficient heat. You have to put proportionate heat so that the food can get cooked. Now we want thousands must come to the ijtima. We want hundreds of buses to come to the ijtima. We want our ijtima to be very successful. But we're lighting one candle. My tartib hasn't changed. My eating, sleeping time hasn't changed. My work time hasn't changed. I'm not increasing qurbani. Daytime I'm not coming out. We're not making mulaqats. We're not going and meeting one person. We're not going to every person in our locality to make sure that he gets the message of the ijtima. And we don't make that kind of effort. It is like that candle. So we will say then, if you don't make the effort and you have this big, big expectation, without the effort, it is a dream. Khab hai khab. It is a dream. Thousands must come to the ijtima. Hundreds of buses must come. Many people must benefit. Ijtima must be very successful. But the energy behind it, I'm not prepared to put that energy. I'm not prepared to put myself forward for the takazas. So every area is told to go into harakat, start the mulaqat, door-to-door mulaqat, taking brothers out. We've got holidays in front of us. June, there's some beautiful holidays coming as well. Makes it easier for people to spend 3 days in the path of Allah. A record number of 3 days jamaat should come out in the path of Allah during these holidays. So the chilla jamaats before the ijtima, whether it's minimum of 7 or 20 chilla jamaats, is ultra important. Put ourselves before this takaza and become part of it. Now those who make the effort before the ijtima, they will get the reward of the outcome of the ijtima. The good outcome of the ijtima, the one who made the investment, who became a shareholder, they will earn from the outcome of the ijtima, the khair that will come out, the goodness that will come out of the ijtima, because we invested. Together with us, our mothers and daughters and family members in the home, to start ta'aleem in the home, start amals in the home, start yasin khatam in the home, making dua, make that masoom child to sit there and say ameen upon our dua, for the khair of the ijtima, for the afiyat of the ijtima, for the ease of the ijtima. Allah must protect us, Allah will make it successful. We don't want show. There's a maqsad, there's a purpose. Deen must come alive, people must go back with hidayat. The four amals that take place there, of dawat, learning, teaching, and khidmat, the four amals that will take place, these are amals of hidayat. These are amals that took place in the Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are the amals of hidayat which take place in the ijtima. So we want people that come there must go back with hidayat. We don't want people to come there and say the tent was very nice and the taksha, food was very good and the tea price was very low and all that. That's not the maqsad of the ijtima. Purpose of the ijtima is go back with fikr, with worry. One of our elders, Mona Ismail, he was in our country, he came to the Joburg ijtima. What did he say? He says it's a big loss. Big loss. If a person came to the ijtima and he hasn't understood that he has to live his life according to deen, he never went according with that understanding. And if he never went with the understanding that together with bringing deen in my life, I am responsible to bring deen alive in the world, if he never went back with this understanding, it is a big loss. Very big loss. So every person that comes there must come with an objective, must come with an understanding. What we say, we want a mature majma. Don't just fill the buses for the sake of filling the buses. We're not here to impress anyone. We're not here to say, well, we had big numbers and large numbers, and last time we had so many, and now we had so many. Even if we have lesser, but we have a mature majma. A majma that comes there, spends their time in amal, spend their time properly, see? And give their names to come out at least, if they haven't come out before that, in the path of Allah, from the ijtima. From the ijtima we want pedal jamaats. From the ijtima we want 4-month brothers to go to foreign countries. 4-month jamaat IPB, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. Chilla jamaats and 2-month jamaats to foreign countries. We have got so many takazas in front of us. List, such a long list. Countries are sending us messages. They want jamaat, send us jamaat, send us jamaat. South Africans, please send us jamaats. There's a request. See, this is a ni'mat from Allah. People from the world are desirous that our jamaats must come and work in their countries. This is a ni'mat from Allah. Say shukr, say jazakallah. Allah has put in their hearts. See, our what you call a place in their hearts. That's such guman, a high expectation, which we don't even qualify for. So there's foreign jamaat. Then there's local jamaats. In the whole province, whole country, nook and breadth of the country has to be covered. Neighboring countries, jamaats from, has to go there. Masturat jamaats, the Mahara Masturat jamaats. So we've got work to do, brothers. The ijtima has been announced, which means the ijtima has begun, and we have got work to do. These are the muzakaras, these are the guidelines, this is the nasiha that comes from our elders, which we are just repeating. Inshallah, if we make ourselves available, then inshallah Allah will take great work from us. And don't leave nobody. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah used to say, that person who don't come to your local masjid, that person who don't come to your local masjid, go and look for him. Ijtima is an excuse for you to bring him to such a mahol, to such an environment where he will not be embarrassed. If he comes to the local masjid, everybody will look at him and say, hey, this Mota, where he came from today? But if he comes to the ijtima, thousands are there. Nobody will recognize him. See? So search, look for these type of people in your community, in your area, in your town. Look for these kind of people who are far from deen, who are far from the masjid, who are far from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look for them, search for them, and bring them to the ijtima. See? And make your akhirat. Make your akhirat. There's no, sky is the limit. How many you want to take with you, behind you into Jannah? Sky is the limit. You want to take 100, make that kind of effort. You want to take 1,000 with you, you make that effort. See? According to your effort that you make, according to the qurbani that we give, according to that Allah will use us. See? Nadia radiallahu ta'ala, a woman in Makkah, makes such an effort in Makkah al-Mukarramah amongst the women. 120 single-handedly women accepted deen in her hands, upon her hands. Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala in Madinatul Munawwara, when the parda laws were not yet revealed, she goes to the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, every family, outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, every family she met regularly, she went twice a month, regularly to every single family and gave them dawat. She said, the writer writes, that the deen that came into the homes of the outskirts of Medina, the credit of that goes to this one single woman. One single woman. See? Mother of the Ummah, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. See? Today everybody is talking about career, career, career. Look at the career that she adopted. What a career. See? The career of following deen and making effort for deen alongside Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in all the trials and tribulations, whatever halats came, she bared all of them. And what happens? Allah Ta'ala sends the salams upon her. So the mother of the Ummah was a da'i. And the daughter of the mother of the Ummah was also a da'i. Allah bestowed her with the honor, you will be the queen of Jannah. On what accord? Because she was the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the wife of Azhar Ali radiallahu ta'ala, because she was the mother of Husnain. No. What did she say when she was asked that question? Because of the qurbani that her home that she gave for the deen of Allah, for the upliftment of the deen of Allah. Upon that Allah gave this honor. So here's a career to be followed. Tell our wives this. Tell our daughters, you want a career, there's a career. Is there any university in the world that will give you a certificate inauguration day that says that Allah's salam has come to you, or you have been bestowed with the honor of being the queen of Jannah? Which university will give you that? Here's a career. Da'i, become a da'i. Men become da'i, women become da'i. If you look at Makkah al-Mukarramah, everyone was a da'i. Every man was a da'i. Every woman was a da'i. Every child was a da'i. Every child was a da'i. Elders say the children gave da'wat in Medina. Such a mahol was created. Because we are not talking about this, we are forgetting about it. We forgot that we even forgot. We forgot that we forgot. We have a job to do. We have a responsibility. We have a work in front of us. Save the men came from fire of Jahannam. That is our work. That's the object of our life. We make the ibadat of Allah. Who's writing Tashkil? Come. On one hand, on the other hand, we are the ummatis of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we have got this responsibility. Istima is a bahana, is an excuse. To remind ourselves who we are, why we were sent, what is our job, what we have to do, and get to work. So for that, we all are ready, inshallah. All are ready, everybody is ready. Say inshallah. Yeah? Not ready, I can't hear. Say inshallah, we are ready. Right, now the takazas, inshallah, will be put forward. There's a pedal takaza, 4 months takaza foreign, 4 months IPB, 2 months jamaat, chilla jamaat to foreign, local, inshallah. So for that, give our names now, inshallah. Bismillah. Who will start, inshallah? Who will make a start? Bismillah, stand up. MashaAllah, bismillah. Gee, take the name. Liko bhai, someone else come this side and write here. Come, Sheikh. Umar, come. Write name. Wallah, bismillah. Give your names on the right here. Give your names on the left. Stand up, give your name, give your intention. Tell us which masjid you're from. And if you can tell when you're coming out from, alhamdulillah. Well, who else? Come forward, inshallah. There's a chance, opportunity. Life is melting, like ice in the sun. Four months every year, mashallah. Allah kabul, Allah asan for my. Allah make it easy for you. Allah accept you. Allah accept your whole family, inshallah, and your progeny to come. Say ameen, inshallah. Yeah. Who else? Mashallah. Ji, Maulana, take his. Bye, come this side, write the names there, bye. Maulana Shaban, write the name there. Kya niyat hai Maulana? Ji, Mehmood Padia, what is the niyat? There, write the name there. Bye, what's your name? Write the name. Someone write the name this side, bye. SubhanAllah. Read over. What the hell is it? Liko, bye. Ji, bolo, stand up. Say bismillah, stand up, inshallah. Well, write all those names, inshallah. This, mashallah, three of you, you write your name this side. Three of you, you write your name on that side. Liko bhai, mashallah. These intentions are important, bhai. We put ourselves forward. Make ourselves available. Allah will take us. By His Qudrat, He will take us. How Allah will take us, Allah knows. Allah is looking at our talab, our desire. How desirous we are to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ji. Bismillah, give the name, full jamaat, ne? We can give our names also, jamaat-wise, masjid-wise, full jamaat. MashaAllah, some masjids are taking out full jamaats. Gee, we can give the name of our masjids with the jamaats as well. Some masjids have been given, alhamdulillah, the takazas already. Which countries they're going to? Renew your intention, inshallah. Renew your intention. Bola, MashaAllah. Who else? MashaAllah. Write your names on this side, yeah. Gee. Those on the translation side also, take the names, inshallah. Write down all the niyat, inshallah. Gee. On the left also, MashaAllah. Give our names, inshallah. Stand up, write our names. Make the intention. First step is to make the intention. Stand up, make the intention. Just make the intention. Stand up. Make the intention. Make the intention. Intention is the first step. First step is intention. The balance will follow. See? Balance will follow. How we'll go, Allah will take us. Well, who else, inshallah? See? Give your name. Come. Write your name there. MashaAllah. Who else, inshallah? See? Make the intention. Allah will take us one day, inshallah. See? Give your intention. Give your intentions, inshallah. Make the niyat. Stand up. Make niyat, inshallah. MashaAllah. So once we made our intention, then we go into amals. We go into amals, make 2 rakat namaz, make dua, we fast, we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove our obstacles, our difficulties. And then inshallah, Allah by His Qudrat will take us inshallah. I'll just share you one karguzari. One person stood up in a shabguzari and he gave his name for 4 months. And after he gave his name, he said, I'm ready immediately, I'm ready cash. And then he starts to cry. They ask him, why are you crying? He says, for 8 years now, every Friday, when I get my wages, every Friday from my wages, I set a little amount one side with the intention, one day I'm going to go for 4 months in the path of Allah. And after 8 years of savings, today I got sufficient funds to go to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh to spend my 4 months in the path of Allah. See? So intention. See? All those difficulties, hardships, obstacles, what we think is difficult. Yeah, difficult for us, but for Allah? It's not difficult for Allah. Allah will open the way, Allah will open the, remove the difficulties and hardships and challenges. Depending on our niyyah, depending on our what you call talab, our desire. See? So, inshallah, all those who gave their niyat, who made intention, we ask you to stand up in your place, inshallah. All those who made intentions, please stand up in your place for a while. Please stand up, some more, yeah, on the left. Gee, those in the back there, all stand up. All those who gave their niyat, stand up, inshallah. Now, please, can you go to the right, inshallah? The tafakkur brothers will take your tafakkur and make it, inshallah. Go on the right, inshallah. Go on the right, inshallah. Yeah, all of them. Let them go on the right. MashaAllah. So these brothers made intention to go in the path of Allah. What is our intention, the rest of us that are sitting here? Ji. Let us make intention, Ji. We will go back to our masjids and make an effort to come out. Make an effort, Ji, towards the effort of the istima. Say inshallah. We all go back to work, inshallah. Go to our masjid, see? Start mulaqa, start the tarteeb. Holidays are coming. Take our 3-day jamaats, masturat jamaats, holidays, youth, during the June, July holidays. Start from now. See? Let us all go into harakat. Who says inshallah we will make an effort, go back to our masjid and make an effort, inshallah? Raise your hand, let's see. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Jazakallah. Allah Ta'ala accept. Halkas. Ji. Azan. Azan will be at 5:15. So now we can sit in our halkas, make fikr. Ji. What we are going to do when we go back now. Ji. Whatever we have heard, how we are going to implement it. Ji. So sit in our halkas. And inshallah, 5:15 will be azan. And 7:30 will be namaz. We should not make any noise, don't talk, don't raise our voice. The adab of the masjid, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma.